2018 is just about gone, and if the Lord allows us to assemble again Wednesday evening, we will be assembling in the year 2019. It's a little bit hard for me to believe. I can remember when 1984 was a long way off, and that's a long way in the past now. So I hope that the new year brings everything that you want to it. 2018 for some in this audience has been a difficult year, much more difficult than they had anticipated. And I pray that the new year will be good to you. I want to, especially this morning, say that I am glad to see Kiefer's dad and Kiefer's brother, Jimmy and Kyle. It's been a tough last couple weeks or so for the Ray family, and I'm glad to see them this morning. We continue to keep all of them in our hearts and in our minds, and we pray that the days ahead will be good and that life will get back to normal very soon for all of you. Again, it's good to see you this morning. We have some guests, as I mentioned, and I know some of you here for the holidays, and so we're glad that you have chosen to come and be with us. Next Sunday morning, Brother Mitch Bowen, who's one of our shepherds, will be speaking. We will be discussing, he will be discussing in part anyway, our plans for 2019 as the shepherds have gotten together and talked about some of those things. And I've been a part of those discussions, and I'm anxious for him to share some of those things with you next Sunday night. I want to talk a little further about some things that I would anticipate for us being able to do in 2019 as well. So I hope that you will come back and be with us next week. Remember Ann Clark. Ann is in the hospital. Milton is here this morning. Linda is with her mother in the hospital, taking care of her mother at Keller. But Ann has been in there for several days, and I hope that she's able to hear the live stream this morning. And we want to remember Ann. This is a difficult time for her and for her family. So let's again continue to remember her and hope that she can improve quickly and she'll be back home very soon. So remember her as well as others. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to spend most of our time there, if not all of our time there, as we look at some things that I think, and maybe a specific question that I think is important for all of us to think about. And I want to begin by thinking about this concept of philosophy. Philosophy is the rational investigation of truth. That may sound like a highbrow pursuit, really designed for academia. You know, let's let the smart people talk about that. And let me tell you, there are a lot of smart people who don't understand what life is really all about. And so I want to talk to you this morning about this concept, because nothing is further from the truth that this is something that only those who are in some higher level of academia or intellectuality can discuss. Philosophy is something that every person does. Every single one of us does this. Every human being thinks about his or her origin and our identity and our purpose in life. That's really the essence of who we are. I got the privilege this morning of teaching the middle school class. I don't get to do that as often as I really prefer to do it. I love that class. And there were five students in there who are kind of the ones who are always in there. McKinley was in there, Jack and Andrew and Annie and Olivia. And I want to tell you something. They're impressive young people, all five of them. But we had a class this morning. We talked some about the idea of origin. You know, where'd you come from and who are you and why are you here? And I think that's important for everybody to consider. But for even those middle school students this morning, I wanted them to think about some things that relate to who they really are. I think it's time for them to think about those kind of things. And it's not that they haven't. Matter of fact, about every question that I asked them, they were able to answer. That's because I know they've been taught at home. And they've been in this assembly a lot, and they've been in these classes a lot, but they come from good stock, and so they understand some of these kind of things. But it's important for all of us to think about those kind of things. None of us avoids that. And if you're here this morning and you've never really given thought to who you are and how you got here and why you're here, I want you to listen carefully to this lesson. This has to do with this idea of investigating and thinking about what the truth is about those kind of things. So when you think about these three words that are a part of this definition of philosophy, we're talking about something that is rational. It's the ability we have to use our minds and to think logically and to think reasonably about what it is and who we are. And it's the idea of being willing to investigate that. Are you interested in knowing what the answers to those questions are? And we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of that in just a moment. And here's the other issue. You and I need to understand what the truth about this is. There are a lot of people who do what maybe we want to call philosophy. They sometimes work philosophy in their minds because they have to have answers to those questions. But I'm going to suggest something to you this morning, folks. Most people in the world don't come to the right conclusions. And you say, well, Kenny, how do you know what the right conclusions are? I'll tell you how you know. You listen to the one who made you. You listen to one who originated truth. You listen to God and you understand what God wants from you and you get the right answers to these questions. You use your mind and you want to know, you investigate, and the conclusions that you reach are the conclusions that God wants you to reach. And so when we do that, then we can answer this question, am I existing or am I living? And I think that's the issue that I want to discuss with you today. When it comes to our philosophy of life, and helping us understand that, I think there are I'm going to package it this morning by mentioning to you three words. And I want you to think about this. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to put up these three words. And I want you, after I put these up and talk to you for just a minute about them, I want you to say, that's what I am. I'm that one right there, Kenny. And I want you to ask yourself seriously which one of these you are, because it's going to start help you answering this question of whether or not you're living or whether or not you're just existing. And the first thing I'm going to mention this morning is this idea of survival. Many people are surviving life. They're surviving. They look to get to tomorrow and to get through today. They're just trying to make it to get through tomorrow. And so they're living life and they're trying to survive. And what they're about is that they're trying to maintain just the simple, as we call them, the necessities of life. We could probably all sing the song if we wanted to. But that's what a lot of people are involved with. They're just involved with on a daily basis trying to have enough to get by with the necessities. Now there is an avenue of that and there's an aspect of that that's good. We all have to go through that. We all are looking for, as we sometimes say, our daily bread. That is significant. We've got to have that. But there are a lot of people who, that's how they live their life. They're just surviving. And then the second thing that I would suggest is some people are trying to succeed. They have some goal. They have some objective that surpasses this idea of, I just want to survive. No, I have a goal that I'm trying to achieve. And most of those goals have to do with some earthly pursuit. They want to achieve something in life. They want to get to a certain point. And so their worldview and their self-view revolves around, here's my goal. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish in this life. And a lot of people do that. You may be here this morning, and this may be where you are. I've succeeded. I've achieved a certain level of ability. I've achieved a certain level of power. I've gained access to this level in terms of the business community or in some level like that. And so, yes, you're successful in terms of how the world views you. And so you may fall into that category. But here's the category that I want you to really think about. How significant are you? Is there any significance to your life? Are you making a difference in the lives of people that truly matters? And are you leaving the kind of influence that really matters? Is there a real significance in your life? And this is how I want to package this idea this morning. And we're going to unpack it too. But if I just stopped right here and said, which one of these are you? You may say, well, I don't know enough about what you mean by all those to really answer that question. Well, we're going to talk about that for just a minute. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? And may I say to us this morning, folks, pardon me, that the issue with what you see on this screen before you is not religious. This is not a religious question. This is a human question. This is about the human experience. This is about, as a human being, what is my life? Am I just existing to exist, or am I living my life the way I should? The way that my investigation of truth, the conclusions that I reach to help me understand it. That's what this is about. This is not about religion, not at least initially. And depending on how you define religion, it's not even about it then. But this is a human question. This is a question that I could ask anybody. If we walked out on the street today to somebody who's not the least bit religious, that doesn't even believe in God, this is my question. Are you existing or are you living? And do you understand what this means? This is what all of us want. We want to be able to answer this question whether we're religious or not. And finding meaning and significance is part of the human experience. That's what we live for every day. When I pillow my head at night, one of the questions as I'm trying to unwind, one of the questions that I ask myself is, did I do something significant today? Or did I just live? Did I just survive? Or did I do something significant today? The problem that I think most people have is they don't investigate truth. And when you don't investigate the truth about this particular issue, then you start at a place that you don't need to start, and you stop at a place that you don't need to stop. If you don't start with God and you don't end with God, then you're at the wrong place. There is no other right way to view the truth about these questions. There is no other place, and that's because God made you. And may I suggest to you this morning if you disagree with that, then you need to investigate that. You need to be honest enough to say, you know, I got to find out about that. One way to ask the question that addresses this human dilemma, as I said to you, is, are you existing or are you living? And I think the way the Bible addresses that is in the book, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Now, I want to read just a bit in this book. I have a book in my library. You can tell because I've still got the price tag, $4.50. You can tell how cheap this book was way back in the day. It's called Ecclesiastes Total Life by Walter Kaiser Jr. It's one of my favorite books, not just because I agree with him, but because I think it's substantive. And it helps me again understand, I think, how I need to view life. And I want to read what he says about the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, Ecclesiastes is the best news around for baffled modern men. It is the book for men who want to live again now. It is the working man's book. It answers his boredom with a routine of joylessly eating, drinking, and earning a paycheck. Ecclesiastes is also the thinking man's book. Its author knew that the thinking man is haunted by the questions, who am I? What's the meaning of life? Should I be worldlier than thou or holier than thou? Or is there a third alternative that is simultaneously world-accepting and God-honoring? Ecclesiastes has as its central concern that basic hunger of men to see if the totality of life fits into a meaningful pattern. Can this age of satanic rule and the eternal age to come both be accepted, enjoyed, and understood as parts of one plan? And if the same laws and plans of the omnipotent God apply to both ages, why does there often seem to be no divine plan in effect? Where are the goodness and joy of life and tragedy? Where's the sovereign direction of a wise, powerful, and good God when suffering Christians need Him most and seemingly He is not there? Ecclesiastes was written to answer the above questions. I mean, if you're looking for the meaning of life and if you're trying to figure out what is it that I'm doing, am I living or am I existing? Man, we're at the right place. This book of Ecclesiastes is right where we need to stop. It addresses all of these issues. It addresses the question, am I existing or am I living? And I want to look this morning with you at three passages from Ecclesiastes. We're going to read them. And then I'm just going to make some observations about them. The first one is found in Ecclesiastes 2, beginning in verse 24. Now, we all know that the conclusion that Solomon reached at the end of the book, fear God and keep His commandments, His whole duty of man. I think that is Not that Solomon needs me to approve what he said, man, but I think that goes right to the heart of the issue. But there are a lot of summaries along the way in the book that help Solomon reach that conclusion. And the three that I'm going to show you this morning are some of those along the way summaries. Ecclesiastes 2, beginning verse 24. Nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink. Now stop right there. I'm all for that, right? If we just stop right there, I'm good to go. But again, that's limited. Nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat, who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. I mean, this is central to the issue of am I existing or am I living? He says, but there's everything good about eating and drinking and enjoying your labor. But you notice what he says. He said, this is from the hand of God. There's a foundation that is a part of all of those things that we think are just daily survival necessities. Laboring and enjoying life and eating and drinking. Those things that we have to have. But it all comes from the hand of God. And I love what this passage said. God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. There is something that's got to happen in order for those things to really become the joy that we all want them to be. And that's what I think the writer here is saying. And he's saying there's some who get it and there's some who don't. Or the way I view that, there's some who are surviving and there's some who are having significance in life. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 9, he would say this. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? See, all these really saying the same thing. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And also he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. There's a lot in here about a lot of things, okay? But I think one of those fundamental truths is what we're discussing here. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You see how this is all tied together? All this eating and drinking and working, that's all a part of life. But it's not just the survival mode. All this is a gift from God. It's a gift of God so that enjoyment is had by all of us with all of these things. But it's all surrounded by the fact that God is a part of that. That's what gives it significance. That's what makes life not just living or not just existing, but this is what makes life worth living, is to understand that about God. And then he says in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 18, and this is what Hayden read as we began our service this morning. See, let's just listen to the language. Here's a man that's going through all these experiences, and all throughout this, as he's writing down all these experiences, here's what he says. He says, here's what I've seen. Don't you just love this? I mean, this saves us the time, really, right? He's the wisest man who ever lived. And here's the conclusions that I reach. Here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. It's his heritage. That's part of the human experience. That's what all of us share, this ability to enjoy life. That's part of who we are. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. You've read that somewhere before, haven't we? For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. This is going to come as no surprise to you. But occasionally, let me say, not, it's more than occasionally, it's frequently. In my study, and I imagine in your study, don't you come across verses as you're studying and as you're reading that when you hear them, You're just going, wow. It may not be that you've never read them before, or you've never even thought about them before, but it's that you haven't thought about them just like you're thinking about them right then. That's this verse right here. That's verse 20. I want you to listen to it carefully. For he, referring to us, he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Wow! That thrills my soul. I read that. I tell you what I did. I read that as I'm studying this week, and I text all my wife and my kids, and I said, look what I found. I said, matter of fact, I want y'all to think about this, and I want y'all to react to it. I want y'all to respond to what that verse says. And they did. It was just one of those aha moments for me, you know? Because this answered my question. For the one who understands life and wants to live life, here's what happens. He will not dwell unduly on the days of his life. It's not about how long I live. It's not even about if I live. It's about how I live. Why does he say this? This is a powerful statement. It is a summary of all the verses that we have just read. This is how God, I believe, this is how God intends us to live our life. This is God's answer for you and for me to the question of, are you existing or are you living? So let me share. After I saw the verse, here's what I did. I saw the verse. I sat there and I thought about the verse and I said, I wonder what other people think about this verse. So that I'm kind of telling you my this is kind of how I operate. When I'm putting together my lessons, I'm reading the text and I'm going, okay, here's what I think about that. Here's what I think he's saying. I wonder what somebody else thinks about that. And here's one that I found. I want you to think about this with me. This is what another man said about verse 20. The man who has learned the secret of enjoyment is not anxious about the days of his life, does not brood even over its transitoriness, but takes each day tranquilly as it comes, as God's gift to him, and God himself corresponds to his joy and approves it as harmonizing in its calm evenness with his own blessedness. The tranquility of the wise man mirrors the tranquility of God. And you may say, Kenny, you're overdoing this. Not for me. Not for me. Because this is exactly, this is what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find this tranquility of life. And when I say that, it's not to say that I haven't found it or that I'm not in pursuit of it. It's just to say that it is a struggle with me all the time. And this business, when all, you're the preacher, you're supposed to have it all together. Well, you can throw that out the window. I struggle with this kind of stuff, folks. I struggle with purpose. I struggle with production. I struggle with my labor. I struggle with significance. Not just about how somebody else perceives me, but I struggle with significance in reference to how does God perceive me? And then ultimately, how do I perceive myself about that? And what this analysis of that verse is saying, it seems to me, is this. So, significance in life is only found when what God's joy is for me is the joy I actually practice. It's listening to what He says, and it's fitting myself into what He wants for me because He knows what's best for me. Listen, let me tell you something. You do not know what is best for you. You do not. I do not. None of us do. And we have a large say-so in that. Matter of fact, we have the ultimate say in when what we pursue and how we are. But it's not us who decides what's best for us. It's God. That's the problem with most people. They don't even know what God wants them to do. All this eating and drinking and laboring, all that has to do with how that's packaged in reference to what God wants. And when God's not a part of that, you're just going to survive. And you may succeed as far as the world's concerned, but there's no significance in that kind of life. God keeps me busy. I love this. God keeps me busy with the joy of my heart. Doesn't that make perfect sense to you? Doesn't that make perfect sense to you? It's not about how long I live. If I die tomorrow, so I die tomorrow. But how am I living today? What am I doing today in reference to what God wants for me? That's the issue. God made you, He made me. He better than any of us knows what should make our life enjoyable. And the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, I'm going to tell you what it is. You may not want to hear it, but I'm telling you what it is. And the problem is that most people don't. A man who enjoys life does not dwell unduly on the days of his life. I like that. It doesn't say he doesn't dwell on the days of his life. It says he doesn't dwell unduly on the days of his life. It's not that I don't care about how long I'm going to live, and I don't try to live longer, and I'm not concerned about that, but I don't dwell on that. That's what that passage is saying. He does not dwell unduly on those kind of things. We worry about this and we worry about that. And he says, what are you doing? The word here, the key is unduly. How simple is this? And yet we all struggle with it. We do. There are a lot of smart people in the world who can't figure out what life's all about. They're surviving. And for many of them, they're succeeding. But there's no eternal significance to it. And there are a lot of successful people who aren't fulfilled. You know why? You do know why. Because God's not a part of their life. So, I'm going to end the year where we started the year. We've been talking about this idea of leaving a legacy worth following. We've been talking about it all year. And we have talked about various aspects of it. I've tried to present some lessons that help us focus on that very kind of thing. And as this year comes to a close, I want to go back and I want to read to you what our booklet said for this month. It asked the question, my legacy, is it earthly or is it eternal? And it says, when you get right down to it, this is the question that ties all previous questions together. Is my legacy earthly or is it eternal? Here's what an earthly legacy does. It survives and succeeds. Right? We're all going to leave a legacy. But here's the thing. Is my legacy the fact I survived life? What did my dad leave me? He survived life. What did my dad leave me? He was so successful. He gave me the material things that I needed. He was very successful. Okay. That's part of life. But what about this? He gave me something that is eternally significant. Now given those three options, what in the world should we want to leave? I want to be significant eternally. Do I want to leave my kids something? Yep. Are we trying to make some plans that when Beth and I pass on, that our kids, when the tears dry up after about 15, 20 minutes, hopefully they'll cry that long, and they start distributing all these things. Matter of fact, when Jenny was home this time, she told her mother, she said, Mom, can I have this? Can I have the couches when y'all go? I looked at Jenny, I said, well, hold on just a little bit. I'm going to plan to wear these couches out before you get any part of it. But I really do. I really do want Samuel and Jenny and Bradley, as they're sitting, wherever they're sitting and whenever it is that they're sitting, I really do want them to say, most important thing about Daddy is he taught us about God. And he showed us about God. And he lived for God. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want? And in this paragraph, I included the passage that I shared with the middle school class this morning. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That has to do with me personally, but it also has to do with what I leave. And do I leave something that's eternally worthwhile? So, as you think about this morning, as you leave here today, and as you think about what your life is all about, I would encourage you and me to evaluate fairly and honestly and objectively, and to say, you know what? I've been covering those first two. I've been surviving and succeeding for a long time, but I better add some significance to my life. I better really make it something that in the long term is valuable not only for me, but is valuable for some folks over whom I have some influence. And I think for me, when I can do that, then I can wake up every morning and I can say to myself, you know, life is worth living. Life's worth enjoying my food and my drink and my labor, but it's because I'm doing it with God as a part of it. And I think that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is saying to us. I think these three or four passages that we looked at this morning, I think that's exactly what that's saying. And so I would encourage us this morning to evaluate that, and to if you've not given the kind of thought to those kind of things that you should, just stop somewhere. Let me just suggest this to you. You don't have to do this, but this would be my suggestion. Just get away from your family for a little while. Maybe take your Bible with you. I don't know if you want to take your Bible with you, but just stop and evaluate how you're living your life. Just evaluate that. And say, and ask yourself honestly, am I living my life so that when I leave, I have made a significant difference in both this life and in the life to come? Maybe that's the way to ask and to answer that question. I hope that the lesson's been valuable to you this morning. I like these kind of lessons because it just helps me refocus. Not just because it's the end of the year or the beginning of another year, but because I need this kind of thing every day, just to try to help me evaluate where I'm at. I probably use that term a lot, evaluate, but I think that's what life is. It's a continuing evaluation of where I am. And if your evaluation this morning as you sit here in this audience is, I'm not where I want to be, then you need to get where you need to be. You need to figure out where that is. It may be that you need to investigate. You need to be pursuing. You need to be finding out. Maybe you don't know where you need to be. Well, may I just say this to you? I think I can help you with that spiritually. I think I can show you from the Bible where you need to be spiritually. I'd like to help you with that. I may not help you with your career choice or who you ought to marry, but I can help you with where you're going spiritually, I believe, because I believe I know where the answer to that is. And I'd like to share that with you if you're not sure. But if you are sure this morning and you're not headed to the right place, then get there. Do whatever it is that you have to do to get there. And listen to what God said in order to do that. This is an opportunity this morning for you to do that. If you need to respond to the gospel this morning, it may be that we can help you. If we can help you in your obedience to the gospel, then come, make your way to the front. Talk to me about that and let's see what we can do to help you. But if you need to just have this heart-to-heart talk with the good Lord and say, I need to be going in the right direction. Forgive me for the direction I've been in and help me go in the right direction, then you need to do that. If we can help you, this morning do that. Why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?